Over the past few years, there have been several high-profile cases of people killed by police. There was Michael Brown, Eric Gardner, Laquan McDonald, Sandra Bland, Alton Sterling, and sadly several more. These cases have sparked both outrage and conversations about the role of the police in a community.
And just this weekend, Milwaukee was rocked by the police shooting of Sylville Smith, who police say was armed at the time of his death. However, the Milwaukee police haven't yet released body camera footage to the public, which has led to some accusations that law enforcement is not being transparent.
Cammie Chavis joins us now to talk about the role that body cam footage plays in investigations and in public perception. She's a law professor and the director of the Criminal Justice Program at the Wake Forest University Law School. She's also a former prosecutor at the U.S. Attorney's Office in Washington, D.C. Cammie, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me again.
Cammie, is there any kind of standardized approach to how police departments deal with body cam footage?
So that's a very interesting question, because there's almost nothing standard about body cameras and the policies that we're seeing. Even though it's not a brand new technology, the widespread implementation of these cameras is fairly new. And there's a patchwork, I think, of state laws, local regulations that are regulating their use. A lot of what's happening with body cameras is going to be governed by the internal regulations of the police department, just in terms of when the officers turn their footage, turn the cameras on, and the operation of that. But as far as access to the footage, there are a lot of state laws that could preclude releasing that footage.
So you've described this patchwork approach across the nation. So can you walk us through some of the different ways departments across the country have acted when it comes to releasing this footage after a police shooting?
Yes, there are many different, unfortunately, the problem of police shootings is not as uncommon, I think, as we'd like it to be. And there have been several officer-related shootings in major cities, Houston, Los Angeles, where the mayors in those cities have released the footage. They're typically, this is, I said, kind of governed by a statute or a local regulation. In Washington, D.C., the mayor there released body camera footage. There was a rule that basically gives the mayor, on a case-by-case basis, the authority to release the footage. It has to be a matter of significant public interest, and the mayor would have to consult with the chief of police and in that city with the U.S. Attorney's Office, who prosecutes the local cases. So there's the mayor can make the decision. There has to be some consultation, and it has to be a matter of significant public interest. The problem with that is that any time you have a police-related shooting, this could be a matter of a significant public interest. So we're seeing the tension between wanting to have that the officers wear the cameras for the accountability that it provides, but then kind of what happens to that footage in the wake of a shooting. And I guess I would also say that in Los Angeles, and this is probably true in some other jurisdictions, the release of the footage, while it's not automatic, it's not completely shrouded from public view, because you have kind of oversight commissions that would have access to it. So there are a variety of different approaches here.
So let's look at the shooting in Milwaukee over the weekend. The mayor of Milwaukee referenced the footage, but it has not been released to the public. And there's been a growing frustration there among some people saying they want to see this footage to help them decide how to feel about this, because there was unrest in the city there. So what do you make of that decision? It's been since Saturday, not to release the footage.
So there are many different reasons why a law enforcement agency or why the city might not want to release that footage. And I think that, first of all, we have, of course, the privacy concerns of, and I'm not saying that this is the case in the case of the shooting there in Milwaukee, but anytime you have this body camera footage, there can be bystanders present, other folks with privacy interests, and so to release the footage, you'd want to take some time to properly redact that footage and protect privacy. But in this case, it's more than likely the fact that this is now, it could become evidence in a criminal case. And there are lots of reasons that law enforcement officials would want to hold on to that information for a little while. You don't want witnesses who may need to be called to trial who've seen this footage and in some way kind of taint their perception or taint that they might have to say about it. Having said that, however, I think that the reason that so many communities and civil rights groups have called for the widespread implementation of these cameras is because of the transparency and the accountability, the potential for transparency and accountability that they can provide. So it's a really delicate balance in terms of, you know, releasing that footage, but also, you know, not wanting to jeopardize any criminal case. But the community certainly has legitimate concerns that, you know, they want to know, want to see what happened.
We're talking with law professor Cami Chavis right now from Wake Forest University Law School, talking about the issues surrounding body cameras, especially in light of the shooting in Milwaukee this weekend. And this Sylville Smith case has prompted activists to call for the release of the footage from that body camera from the officer. Here's Martha De La Rosa of Wisconsin Jobs Now at a news conference. This is from this morning.
Wisconsin Jobs Now and the partners at the table are here to urge the State Department of Justice to release the Milwaukee Police Department office body cam video from the Sevile Smith killing to his family first. If they have not done so yet, and then to the community. We in no way want to complicate the DOJ investigation, but it's imperative that this is transparency with the family and the community for this case. Without transparency and the release of the body cam video, this community cannot, I repeat, this community cannot fully work to heal and move forward in a positive way.
And Cami, what do you make of her statement there that the community is not going to be able to move forward without that body cam footage? And the case was made this morning that, in fact, there's some people are worried about bigger, greater unrest without this footage being released.
Yes, I think that, and you know, I also heard Ms. De La Rosa say that, you know, that the family should be able to view this footage, and I agree with that. Although, you know, it doesn't have to, if it's not going to be released publicly, I think certainly the family or family attorneys should be able to view that, because then those other concerns that I mentioned in terms of preserving evidence and not wanting to taint a witness pool, that just wouldn't apply to the family, and it could only serve, you know, to give greater transparency for them. So I agree with that statement. I also, though, want to say that, you know, the unrest and my heart goes out to the Milwaukee community. I've spent some time there recently, actually, and I know the great frustration that exists in the city, but I also know all of the wonderful people there who are doing very good work in terms of trying to improve police and community relations. But sometimes there are you know, greater concerns, I think. We can't always kind of bow to political pressure to have things released. But I think when we're talking about police accountability and transparency, and we know that it's the lack of accountability or the lack of transparency that breeds distrust. That's a very powerful statement, and I think that once the appropriate authorities have had the opportunity to review that footage and make sure that they've spoken to witnesses and taken the necessary statements, I don't think that there should be a lengthy time before this video is released.
And can we just briefly, before we can get some callers in, you mentioned issues of trust. I mean, do you think there are people who have talked about being concerned about issues of tampering because it's been a while? How seriously do you take that concern that this is video that could be somehow tampered with?
Well, I think it is a concern that we need to understand that concern is out there, and that concern comes from a long history of not being able, or of having a distrust of law enforcement, particularly in some communities of color. I think that if we this reminds me of the Laquan McDonald shooting, where and we know that now 7 officers have been fired in Chicago because the tape wasn't released, and these officers made statements that would seem to exonerate or make that shooting seem justified. And then you have this long waiting period, and then when the tape is finally released, those 7 officers perjured themselves. So I want to be very careful and have folks understand that there's a large percentage, the vast majority of police officers are doing their jobs in a professional manner. But like any other profession, like any other population, there are going to be those bad apples. And when you see that in Chicago, 7 officers perjured themselves, gave statements that were inconsistent with what happened on that tape. That's very real, and it cannot be ignored. And so I think there, the length of time, I think it was almost a year or something like that before that footage in the Laquan McDonald case was released. Those officers.
Cami Chavis is with us to talk about how and when body camera footage should be released following a police shooting. She's a law professor and director of the Criminal Justice Program at the Wake Forest University Law School.
And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Why do you think body cam footage in these cases should or should not be released? How should the videos be released to the public? And in this case from this weekend in Milwaukee, do you think those videos, that video cam footage, should be released? And if so, when? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can comment on the Central Time Facebook page or email talk@WPR.org.
We're continuing our conversation about the role body cam footage plays in investigations into police shootings and when and how it should be released to the public. This in light of the shooting in Milwaukee, the police shooting over the weekend, and some growing frustration among some groups of people about the lack of release of that footage. And we're joined now by Cami Chavis. She's a law professor and director of the Criminal Justice Program at the Wake Forest University Law School.
You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think the video of the shooting, the police body cam video of the shooting this weekend, should be released? Should it be released now? Should it have been released by now? Or is this something that should never be released or should wait until the state's Department of Justice investigation is done? Call in at 800-642-1234. And do you have more general thoughts about how, when these body cameras should be used and how the data on them, the footage on them, should be accessible to the media, to the public? Call in now at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we'll go to our callers now. We've got Todd with us in Sparta. Hi, Todd.
Hello.
What is your take? My
concern is that I understand where people want transparency, but my concern would be that would the actual footage, unedited footage, cause more trauma for the family? And now if we have to edit the footage to let the family see it without causing more trauma, now we've gotten away from the transparency. So I think we have to be careful as to what we're asking for here in cases like this.
Todd, thanks for the call. And Cami, I think editing is something that's outside the question most of the time. What do you say to Todd?
Yeah, I agree with that. There's a tension here, and this has been a tension that we've seen as many states, localities try to, and police departments try to shore up their policies, is trying to balance that privacy with transparency.
What about the trauma aspect of it?
I think that you know, it would be up to the family. I could see if it were if it were me not wanting to see my my son's last moments in that way. But at the same time, you know, a family attorney or someone else wanting to tell me exactly how it happened or how it transpired. And so I think that those concerns can be addressed.
Todd, thanks for the call. We go next to Philip in Waukesha. Philip, hi.
Hi. Thank you guys for taking my call. Really glad this is a topic of interest as you're doing.
Thank you.
So I'm a sociology student attending a small school in Iowa, and I've taken several courses at this point in my education on deviance and social control. And one of the things that we talk about in such courses is the nature of law enforcement and why we need police and why to function as a society we need, we need cops to help regulate our behavior sometimes. And I think that maybe it would behoove the powers that be to understand that to populations in this country that do not have a historically positive relationship with law enforcement entities, that no matter which way you cut it, not releasing body cam footage, especially in circumstances such as this, it seems to me to be a very good way to simply further erode an already very weak relationship.
All right. Thank you, Philip, for that perspective. And what do you say to Philip's concern there about this weakening troubled relationships?
Once again, I agree with the caller. We have seen, and there are numerous studies showing that communities of color, thinking about African Americans and Latinos, have vastly different views about police officers and the treatment that they receive from police officers in this country. We also know there are lots of statistics that suggest that police officers are more likely to use force against folks of color, and there's a recent study that says that police officers that blacks disproportionately are twice as likely to be killed by police officers. So I think when we're talking about trust and building relationships, we cannot do it without understanding that context.
We're talking with law professor Cami Chavis right now from Wake Forest University Law School, talking about the issue surrounding body camera use in police forces. And we'll go next to Dan in Independence. Hi, Dan.
Hi. Yeah, my question is that if they release this video and they find he was not justified, and then they decide to have a trial, well, now they've released the video, where did they get the jury pool from? Because everyone thinks he's guilty.
Dan, thank you. And Dan raising questions of tainting the jury pool. Cami, what do you say to that?
Yeah, I think that is certainly when we're talking about the concerns about preserving evidence for, a criminal proceeding. And it might not just be a criminal proceeding. There are other administrative proceedings as well that take place. And so that can be a concern when we're thinking about not releasing the footage. However, it's interesting. We've seen by now, unfortunately, over the past few years with not only body camera footage, but footage from amateur, cell phone footage, we've seen a number of these officer-related shootings captured on video. And no matter how bad it may look to a layperson, it's, sometimes the jury or judges find that it was justified or prosecutors decline to prosecute. So I think that there's a dual concern. One concern is, okay, what transparency? What happened so we, the public, can see what happened? But then the other concern is, all right, now in a court of law, we have to see whether or not what happened rises to the level of excessive force.
And can we
or an unjustified
We just have about 30 seconds left, but is there any concern here with the more widespread use of body cameras that we're becoming too reliant on this body cam footage? And it could be flawed, I guess, depending on the perspective, the angle of the camera shot, all of that.
Certainly, that's a concern. It should be different perspectives, but besides that, I think that body cameras are not a panacea for police reform. There are lots of other things that police departments can and should do, beginning with training, de-escalation, procedural justice training for their officers, diversity in hiring. There are a lot of things that police departments can do to build this trust and to increase accountability.
And we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for joining us, Cammy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was Cammy Chavis, a law professor and the director of the Criminal Justice Program at the Wake Forest University Law School. And she was with us there to talk about how and when body cam footage should be released to the public following a police shooting. You can weigh in. Let us know what you think over on the Central Time Facebook page.